Good morning, church. It is good to see you. It's always so good to see everybody gathered in one place. I don't want to give a warning before a message, but as I'm going to share in a moment, this is one of those passages which I'm like, I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. See why here in a moment. But I am grateful for this passage. And I am looking forward to sharing this truth with you this morning. The Lord has been working on me with this passage for many, many weeks and months. Not to say that I have exhausted it or know it completely, but this is coming from a heart that understands and knows and needs these words himself. So as we look at Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25 through 34, let us hear the word of the Lord and allow him to write it upon our hearts. Join me in Matthew 6, verse 25. Jesus, continuing in his Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let's bow before the Lord as he leads us in his word this morning. Heavenly Father, you have, through your Son, presented us this morning with some very tough words. These words hit us where we live every moment of every day. This is tough. This is hard. Lord, we need you. We need to be reminded of why we need not be anxious, for we struggle. This is tough. So, Father, this morning I pray that your heart would be laid upon our heart, that your Spirit would open our hearts to hear your truth, to hear from our Father, to hear from your Son, our Savior, what we so desperately need to be free from worry and anxiety, stress and fear. We're thankful for all that you have done for us, and we are thankful for these words, and we pray that you would lead me as I share your truth today, that it would land upon our hearts where it's needed, that you would guide us and comfort us with your word today. In Christ's name I pray, amen. As I've already begun this morning, these are some difficult words for us. Jesus is teaching us that we have no need to be anxious. Jesus' disciples have no need to be anxious since we serve the better master. Trust our faithful Father and seek the greater kingdom one day at a time. It's a teaching from Jesus that, once again, is very familiar. Many people know these words. They've heard it in a variety of ways many, many times. It's fairly easy to understand what he's saying. Yet in a way, it leaves us disturbed if we're honest. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. I don't mean to be disrespectful to God, to His Word, but that hits me like a ton of bricks. It's like asking me to not breathe. It sounds ridiculous almost, doesn't it? Do not be anxious. I'm like, come on, do you know where we live? But the Son of God, the King of all creation, the Savior who died for us so that we could be redeemed and transformed into His image, He tells us not to be anxious. This is who this is coming from. In fact, in this passage, He basically is telling us that there is no need to be anxious at all. Yes, I know where you live because I put you where you live. For those of us who have trusted in Him for our eternal salvation from the wrath of God against our sin, what is there really to be anxious about? What can really happen that's worse than eternity in hell? We could just end everything right there and go away, right? But think about it. If the worst thing that could ever happen to us has already been declared to be done and over with, that we will never have to experience it, think about the things that we worry about, the things that get us tense and stressed. What do they compare to? It's like drawing a great big circle and putting one little pencil dot the size of a tiny little atom in the middle of it. And that's all the things that could cause us anxiety and worry. And everything else is eternity in hell. I'd rather take that pencil dot because I know who's with me. Our Savior. He is with us. He is walking with us. He is here and He strengthens us. And He teaches us. He tells us you need not be anxious. Anxiety and worry about the necessities of life is something that is to some extent the part of every human being's existence. Always has been and it will be, unfortunately, until the kingdom comes in its fullness. Food, drink, and clothing are things that every human needs. Yet, for most people in 21st century America, not all, but most, that is not what we're really concerned about. If you think about it. I mean, yes, there are some who wonder where their next meal is going to come from. There's a reason for school-based summer lunch programs, because so many kids only get many meals at school. And that is horrendous, that is horrible, but it is a reality. And we're thankful for those programs. But most of us are not worried about what we're going to eat for lunch. Some of us are worried more about eating too much for lunch. But what is it that we're worried about in 21st century America? If you just talk to young people today, ages 12 through 25, these are some of the things that I have discovered that they are concerned about, worried about. The first day of school or the first day of a new job. Taking a test. Failing a test. Getting into college. Choosing the wrong career. What if that's not where I really belong? How do I know? What if this person I'm dating isn't really the one? Fitting in with other students. Bullies, which is unfortunately still a humongous problem, especially with social media. Friendships, dating, concerns about looks, ordering from a menu. Now, I can understand that a little bit because I went to a restaurant I'd never been to last night and the menu was this wide and this deep. You know, there's like 80 things you could order from. It's like, what do I choose? Making mistakes, doing something wrong I didn't mean to do. Job performance, sports performance, living up to the standards of my parents, disappointing my parents, and at the very low end, health. Of course, they're not so concerned about health because they're really young. According to the CDC and the National Institute of Mental Health data statistics from 2014 through 2019, self-reported questionnaire survey test results, 19% of 18 to 25-year-olds reported feeling anxiety to the point of needing professional help about it. 19%. That's millions of young people. CDC data shows the percentage of adults 18 and up receiving any sort of mental health treatment for anxiety alone rose steadily from 19% in 2019 to 24% in 2023. And yes, COVID was a big part of that. Younger adults, 18 to 44, consistently show higher rates, about 23% in the past year, than those 60 and over, about 9%. Obviously, far too many people, millions of people in America, are struggling with anxiety. For Christians, sometimes we feel like we're less than or something like that. We're just not good enough if we struggle with anxiety. Disciples of Jesus, we are not immune to anxiety. We are not yet what we will be. We do not yet have our glorified bodies. We are still living in a fallen world. If you struggle with anxiety, that is not anything to be ashamed of. Even the Apostle Paul struggled with anxiety. According to 2 Corinthians 11:28, he had a daily pressure on him of anxiety for all the churches. I can imagine that. Anxiety is nothing to be ashamed of, but it is something to be aware of and to surrender to the Lord. For only in Christ can we truly overcome anxiety and live free or freer of it. Jesus, while giving us a command to not be anxious, teaches us about why we need not be anxious. For many, this is a battle that will last a lifetime. For others, it just might come up every once in a while when an extreme situation arises. Yet the lessons are still the same. We need not be anxious. So our Savior, who loves us and died for us, gives us some instructions, some comforting words. Yes, three times repeated a command, do not be anxious. But he, as always, tells us how we can be obedient to his commands. And so if this is so, there must be a way for us to actually be obedient to this and live in this truth. And this is what I believe we are getting here in this passage. Jesus' disciples have no need to be anxious since we, first of all, serve the better master. Look at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Therefore, I tell you. Therefore is there for a reason, as we know, and I'm saying another cliche that pastors always say, but it means look back at what was just said or written. What did Jesus just get done talking about in verses 19 through 24? Because verse 25 comes right on the heels, right away. I mean, Jesus just shared this lickety-split. It wasn't broken up by a week in between like we are doing. Remember, he said that since disciples of Jesus are focused on serving Christ with our heavenly or with our earthly possessions and treasures, we need not be anxious. When our eyes are set on high, on heaven, on the throne room of grace, on God himself, he who is the greater, the better master, when we choose him by following Christ and then every day getting up and saying, I follow you, we have no need to be anxious about our daily needs, our daily lives. If our hearts are redeemed and refocused upon heavenly things, we have no need to be anxious. It's like when running. I see this a lot of times in social media feeds about runners. Keep your eyes up and looking ahead. A lot of runners, when they're tired especially, they look down almost just directly ahead of their feet. And that drags us down, slows us down. We don't run efficiently when we do that. But when our eyes are up, when our head is up, we're running more forward, more relaxed, more in a good gait, saving energy, running more efficiently, we can finish the race. When our eyes are up in heaven, because that's where our heart is, because that's where our treasure is, we again realize, I have no need to be anxious because my master is the creator of everything. He is the one who has ordained all things. I am not an accident. My life and the things that happen to me are not accidents. They all come filtered through the good and holy righteousness of God. And this is what Jesus bases his teaching on anxiety on. This is the foundation for what comes in these verses this morning. When God is our master, the one that we serve, there's no reason to be concerned, worried, or anxious. Because we remember who God is according to the scriptures. Our songs reminded of this morning. He really is the all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful, loving, gracious, compassionate, merciful, faithful God. What do we, his redeemed children, need to be concerned about? And yes, as I say this, remember, I'm smacking myself up beside the head. It's like, come on, guy, get along with it. Trust, look, remember, only God truly runs the world. He doesn't need our help, and he hasn't asked. And that's often the problem with anxiety, is like, I'm trying to control my world, and when my world comes out of my control, I freak out. That's where a lot of our anxieties come from, because I'm not trusting the one who already is in control. There's no need for believers to be anxious because we serve the better master, the master who cares for us to the point that he sent his one and only son to take care of our greatest need, and that was himself. Because he is just and he is faithful, he is holy and righteous, and he will condemn and judge sin and sinners. And yes, that does mean eternity in hell unless we bow the knee to Christ, repent, confess of our sins, and trust him who died for us, who rose again from the grave so that we could have new life, so that we could live free from sin, the power of sin in this world, free from anxieties. So Jesus can say, do not be anxious, because he knows who his Father is. He could go to the cross knowing exactly what was going to happen because he knew who his Father was, and he could endure the cross. He could endure being his Father looking away from him as he bore the sin of those he would die for. He bore our sin and shame and guilt. He paid the price. And if there's anything to be anxious about, it would be that. And yet he was in agony in the garden, and he asked for help, and he got it, he received it, he entrusted himself to him who was faithful, and he was fully obedient. And God has now exalted him to the highest place. He is the one that is with us, and he is the one who gives us that same resurrection power through his Spirit to do exactly what he has done, to face our anxieties with faith. What do we mean here when we're talking about anxiety? I've already been mentioning it a lot. And Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life. Well, what is this anxiety? Well, anxiety, simply put, is to be worried, to be concerned. But it's more than just that. I mean, there are things to be, you know, we're aware of. We're like, oh, yeah, I got to do this or that. Or, yeah, that person's doing this. There are things that we're concerned about, we know about. But it's to be concerned or worried to the point that our thoughts and our feelings, our self-control gets disrupted, gets consumed by that which we are worried about. It becomes our master instead of our Heavenly Father. That's what the problem is, when anxiety becomes our master. If not handled properly, it can affect us physically, not just spiritually, but physically. Anxiety, while I believe is primarily an issue of the heart, of the mind, of the inner person, it is not always because of the brain. Now, the brain is part of the body, and it has fallen, and it is cursed, and it is, you know, dwindling, it's aging, and it doesn't always work right for a variety of reasons. Diseases and all these kinds of things can affect us that in ways in which we need a healer. Medicines and treatments and stuff, yes. But it's our inner person. And that can be known and felt by our bodies in a physical way. And if it's not taken care of and treated, it can actually lead to death. Now, anxiety itself doesn't kill, but the effect upon the body over a prolonged period of time can cause death. This is a serious issue. It is not some trivial thing. And yes, good Christians, good, mature, faithful believers struggle with this, and many are struggling with it in the way that Christ has called us to. Most of us do not experience the extremes of anxiety, but the cares and concerns of normal everyday life in a fallen world, and it can grip us sometimes. It can bring us to our knees. It can make us think that we're having a heart attack when we really aren't. And Jesus says to not be anxious or worried about your life, your everyday, every moment life. In that is included the idea of, when he says, do not be worried, the idea of stopping what has been started. It's this thing that comes up, wells up within us, and we know it's coming. We know when we get that phone call, and it's from somebody that we shouldn't be getting a phone call from at this hour because they're supposed to be out doing this, this, or this. Why are they calling me now? That's a moment when anxiety is trying to take over your life. That's the moment when we need to step up and say, I'm looking to heaven. I'm not going to let you control my life, even if this is news that I don't want to hear. Stopping it before it really starts, just like lust, just like hate, just like lying. Stopping it before it overwhelms and overtakes us. Well, we will feel the anxiety or worry creep up. And what we do in that moment is what will lead us to victory and to freedom. So when Jesus says this, he's not telling us to quit our jobs. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried about your life. He's not saying, you know, just sit back and relax and just trust God to provide you and do absolutely nothing in the process. No. It's like that old phrase that is repeated so often about prayer. You pray as if everything in this world and your life depends upon God, because it does. And then you get up and then you live and act and work and do as if everything you just prayed about depends upon you, because it does. We are expected to go into work. We are expected to serve. We are expected to be obedient, to act. But yet we know who is ultimately in control. We know who is with us. And that even if something as horrible might happen, we can trust him who has allowed it to happen in our lives. So we're not to be concerned about what we will eat or drink or wear. Life is about more than these things. We humans have a tendency to focus too much on the cares of the body for good and for unhealthy and disobedient reasons. But we are to do our part, trusting that God provides, thankful for what he has given us, content with what we have, and use it for his honor and glory. Jesus' disciples have no need to be anxious, since we serve the better master, and we can trust our faithful Father. Verses 26 through 32. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. We need not be anxious, because we can trust our faithful Father. Jesus is reminding us again, who is it that is really in charge? Who is it that is running the show? Who is it that provides for us? Focusing our attention off of ourselves, which is so easy, we can so easily focus on ourselves, and it can be so difficult to put our attention where it belongs, on others, on our Father. Jesus, of course, arguing from the lesser to the greater. If God is going to take care of the birds, look at them. Do they worry about where they're going to find their food? No. I mean, yes, God has created some birds to store up food and all that kind of stuff, but that's not the point. Jesus is saying God takes care of his creatures. If he takes care of the animals, how much more is he going to take care of those who bear his image, those whom he died for? I know some out here are probably nature lovers, bird lovers, but Jesus did not die on the cross so that birds could go to heaven. He died on the cross so that image bearers who were fallen sinners could go to heaven. God cares about us, his children. They get all that they need. Plants put on a fashion show that is far greater than anything that you will ever see in New York or Paris. Anything greater than Solomon and the richest kings of this world could ever want. God has provided. Plants do what God created them to do, and they look beautiful because of it. If God can do all of that, he can most certainly take care of us. But we like to have the things that we like. We like to have the things that we want. We still want to have control of these things, and that's the issue. That's the problem. And worrying about these things does no good. Jesus is like, can you worry and actually add height to yourself? I mean, really, I mean, that was kind of like in the original language, a joke that they would have understood back in that day. Can you really make yourself taller? I mean, yeah, if you drink your milk and you exercise, you work out, you might, you know, fulfill your genetic disposition, but no, we can't really do much about it. Can we add a second to our life? No. When God says it's time for us to be with Him, we will be with Him, and there's nothing we can do to prevent it. We need to be ready for that moment. Are we ready to meet Him? Worry does no good. In fact, worry just steals tomorrow's joy, tomorrow's happiness, tomorrow's blessings. We're worried about something we can do very little, if anything, about. Worry, if it's not obediently checked, will overtake us. Anxiety over food, drink, and clothing is something that the Gentiles, or what Jesus is really saying, it's what those who do not have faith do. They worry after these things. They pursue these things as if that is where they can find their salvation. And that is where we see our world. I was out shopping at the mall yesterday for like the first time in years, and I was just like blown away. And it's like, man, I didn't miss anything, especially the prices. They've just gone up. They're not disappearing. They're going up. The world is so concerned about food and drink and clothing. They have to put their faith in their effort because they do not know God. They do not know how He graciously provides them for all that they strive for. We do, and we know, and we're thankful. So Jesus says, don't be like the unbelievers. Don't follow after the world. Trust in your heavenly Father. He is faithful. He will give everything you need. It's like He taught in verse 8 when He's teaching His disciples to pray. He already knows what you're going to say and what you need before you ask for it. Now, that's not an excuse to not pray. That's a good reason to trust Him and to ask Him in humility, Lord, I need You. Prayer is about us coming to God, not about anything He needs. He doesn't need us to pray to Him. We go to Him because we're trusting in Him, and we need to trust in Him. In verse 30, Jesus brings this to a head, stating anxiety to be an issue of faith. Because we're concerned about our lack of control. We're concerned about trusting myself. I can't always trust myself, and I can't always trust others. And when we do, we're not always trusting God. And so Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. This is a faith issue. It is a trust issue. It is a sin issue. Because anything that does not come from faith is sin. How many times does Jesus, through the Gospels, tell His disciples, oh, you of little faith? And it's almost always about something to do with food, drink, and their safety. They're in the middle of a storm. Jesus is asleep on the boat, and the storm is like rocking the boat. They're about ready. They're drowning. They're screaming. They're crying out to Jesus, Lord, help us. Don't you know that we're about to drown? And He's like, oh, you of little faith. Don't you know who you have with you in the boat? I made these waves. Don't you know what my Father's mission is, what I'm here to do? Nothing's going to interrupt that from happening. Trust me. When He fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, and then a couple days later, they're without some bread, or they got just a few little pieces of bread, Jesus is like, really? You're debating about having so little bread? Oh, you of little faith. We don't want to accept that this is a faith issue because it just doesn't seem to be as horrible as lying or murder or something like that. But it's a lack of faith and trust in God and His ability to provide for us. A lack of trusting in His promises. Denying who He is and His revelation to Himself, of Himself to us. If we recognize anxiety to be an issue of faith, a sin issue like Jesus does, that's where we find the freedom. That's where we find the victory. Why did Jesus die on the cross? To take care of sin, to break the power of sin over us, to break the power of sin in our lives so that we can have victory in Him through His Spirit with His Word over everything that keeps us from being who God wants us to be, from every sin. It's not just an addiction issue. It's a heart issue that needs to be redeemed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing that it's a sin issue because Jesus has defeated sin and death through His death and resurrection. We can have tremendous hope and victory in that. Christ has broken the power of sin through his death and resurrection, and through his word and spirit, we can overcome sin issues of every sort in our lives when we entrust ourselves to our faithful Father. Humbling ourselves, serving the better Master, trusting our faithful Father in heaven. And the way in which we do this to overcome anxiety is to, as Jesus says, seek the greater kingdom. Verse 33, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Jesus gives us the antidote for anxiety and worry. Put God in his rule and his reign in your life as the highest priority. Again, look to the throne. Look to the throne. Who controls all things? Whose rule over all things can you trust in ultimately? The word seek here means to strive after, to search for, kind of like the seek and find in the PowerPoint presentation up here. Seek the path that God has laid out for you. Do not lean upon your own understanding. Trust in the Lord and his word. And this is a search, it's a striving after, it's an always, every moment type of action. It never ceases. It's not supposed to cease anyway. We are supposed to continually, always seek after God's way, God's rule. It never stops. It's a part of every area and moment of our life. And so we, being completely humble and submitted to God the Father, to his Son as Lord and Savior, then we live and we act on what he has revealed to us. It's more than just a one-time decision. This is not a salvation issue now, because when we bow the knee to Christ, that's the moment. We trust in him for salvation, and then we trust in him for every moment afterwards. And sometimes that's a struggle. It's a struggle when our kids go off to camp for the first time, and they're maybe like 3 hours away. It's like, I can't be there when this happens or this happens. We have to trust other people to care for our kids. And that's an anxiety thing. That's a worry thing. That's a real thing. But we have to trust that God is God, and he's going to take care of them, for he loves them more than we do. Do we trust in God's authority, the sufficiency of his word? God cannot be second place. Citizens of the kingdom of God seek him in his view first. How do you know if you're seeking God and his kingdom first? When stress comes up, when something to be worried and concerned about comes up, what's the first thing you do? What's your reaction? And that tells you where you're at. What am I seeking to deal with this? If it's the Lord, if it's prayer, if it's a memory verse that is brought to mind right away, you're seeking after the kingdom. But if it's dread and sorrow and just like, woe is me, I can't go on, I can't even take another breath. And then if you're not seeking the Lord, it's that seeking the Lord. That moment, that critical moment when it begins to creep up, that's where the rubber meets the road. Seek the kingdom first. What does this look like on a regular basis, practically speaking? We got to know God in his word. Know God in his word. Know who he is. Like Christ, Jesus knew who he was. And I know they had a special relationship before he entered into our world and took on flesh. I know this is different for us, but yet it's key. Know the Father, know the Savior, renew your mind upon the word of God, and then take every thought captive to the word of God. Run it through the filter of the sword of the Spirit, the truth of God's word. Think from a biblical perspective. Don't let the feelings overwhelm you. Think and let the truth of God's word overwhelm the situation and bring you peace. Love him. Love him. Love is truly the antidote for this issue of anxiety and worry. For what we love is where our heart will be. That's where our heart is. And if we love God more than anything else, we're going to run to him in that moment. Just like little kids, where do they know they can go for safety? They run right to mom or dad, usually mom, even if dad's in the room, but mom or dad. What does 1 John 4 say? Perfect love casts out fear. When fear, anxiety, stress, worry creep up, remember the love of God for you in Christ Jesus and the power you have in Christ. His perfect love casts it all out so that we can love him and walk in trust and faithfulness to Him. Confess and repent the desires that might lead to anxiety, the worry, the lack of control, the desire for control that leads to anxiety and worry. We have to confess that. Lord, I'm not trusting You in this. Forgive me for that and help me to trust You right now. I need this because I'm about to be swamped over by an ocean wave of anxiety. Help me. That's where prayer comes in. Prayer that, God, Your will be done. I don't know what's going on here. To me, this seems like a tragedy. This is a tragedy, and I feel this tragic situation. Lord, I don't understand how this works, but Lord, somehow may Your will be done. I need Your help in trusting You in this because I don't want to right now. I'm casting this before You, according to 1 Peter. It's just like a fisherman casting a reel. Cast that anxiety out there into the lake of God's faithfulness and trust, His power, His grace, and His love for you, and let Him deal with it. And then get up and move forward in obedience. Finally, disciplining our thoughts. Philippians 4:8. What is it that we're thinking about? When we seek first the kingdom of God, it means our thoughts are in heaven, on heavenly things, on excellent things, praiseworthy things. What are we thinking about? What are we filling our hearts and minds with? Are they things that will encourage us to trust our Heavenly Father at the most critical moments of life? Discipline your thoughts. Train yourself, according to 1 Timothy 4:7-8. Train yourself for righteousness and godliness. Train yourself to think godly things. Train yourself like an Olympic athlete would train in all of these things through the Word of God. When God and His kingdom and righteousness are first, God promises to meet our needs. It's not a transaction. It's not a I do this, He does this. It's a I will do this for you. As you are seeking me, you will see this promise come to fruition in your life. Not because you've earned it, but because you are right where you need to be. Right in a place of faith, and God honors faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they entered that fiery furnace, trusting in God to do what was right for them no matter what. And He rescued them out of it. David faced Goliath. I mean, come on, a teenage boy facing a giant of a man. Seasoned warrior with a sling and 5 stones. How did he face it? Not with courage, not with a weapon. He faced it with his faith and trust in the God of Israel. When the giant was about to overwhelm him, overwhelm the armies of Israel, David faced the greatest anxiety he'd faced in his life at that moment with the power of God. That is what we do when we're seeking first the kingdom of God. And we do this one day, one moment at a time. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We live moment by moment, day by day. We can't do anything about tomorrow. We can't do anything about yesterday. It's done and over with, and it will come whether we want it to or not. You might have your first test this week for some of you who've been in school for a couple of weeks already. Are you prepared for it, preparing for it? So this third and final command to not be anxious, we're told not to be anxious about tomorrow. Take things one day, one moment at a time in some cases. Each day's got its own trouble. Jesus is aware of the fact that each day is going to have trouble. But what did he say? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. We are told ahead of time, and we know intuitively that things are going to happen. We live in a fallen world. We should expect things to be anxious about to happen. And we should expect God to fulfill His promise to meet our needs about those things with which we are stressed about. This is not to keep us from planning ahead or being sensible people about what might be coming or needed, but to not to be overly concerned, to not be overwhelmed, to not serve anxiety, but to serve our Heavenly Father. Today will have its issues, and tomorrow will have its issues, but the God that we serve is eternal. He is outside of time. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow is all one thing to Him. He sees and knows everything. He knew the end before the beginning. He knew the end from the beginning. He knows, and he will keep those, according to Isaiah 26:3, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him, because we trust in him, the one who knows and holds the future. One day at a time, one moment, one issue at a time, we trust and we seek our Heavenly Father, who has provided everything we need so that we need not be anxious. No need to be anxious, because we serve a better master, trust a faithful father, seek a greater kingdom, one day at a time. He is good, amen. He loves us, he cares for us, he will provide for us. He is faithful and gracious, and he is always with us to meet whatever it is that worries us each day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words this morning. These are hard words for us to hear. We live here, as I've said so many times already. We live here so often, and it is so difficult. And Father, I pray that if anything this morning, that two things would be evident in our lives throughout today and this week pertaining this passage, that we would be a people who trust you because you are a great God and you love us. And that we would not add extra burden upon ourselves because we face things that worry us. That we would not add to a situation which is already a struggle, but that we would, by faith in your word, by faith in your Son, and the power of your word and your Spirit, that we would overcome what it is that worries us. Yes, some of us may need to seek counsel from others who know your word better than we do, who can encourage us and help us to take steps each moment of each day. And yes, even medications might be necessary for a time to help us to cope and to get back to a place that we are more stable and stronger. Father, we thank you for all of those things which you have provided for us, that we might be a people that are not anxious because of the great and faithful Father that you are. I pray that you would be with myself and with my brothers and sisters here this morning, that we would seek you and trust you when anxious situations arise, knowing that you have given us everything we need to live free of anxiety, to have victory in your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.